This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Jeff Shackelford writes for Golf Digest. He also has the most popular blog in the game at jeffshackelford.com, also a Golf Channel contributor. It's always nice to have Jeff Shackelford back on the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, John. Great to be back.
All right, let's tie up some Olympic loose ends. You think there will be some sort of team competition in Tokyo in 2020?
I sure hope so. Everybody's in agreement that we need something. The problem, though, John, is that the IOC apparently, this is what we're told, doesn't like a competition within the competition. So, I mean, the obvious fix is to say have a 54-hole, two-person team event, and then the last day go to the singles and maybe eliminate a few people and have the final round stroke play, and you don't add a day or anything. But apparently they're not big on competitions within, except, of course, for gymnastics. Apparently it's okay there. But so I think we have to kind of weed through what the spin is and what the reality is. I think golf's just been so scared of the IOC that they've been kind of timid, and I think it went so well that they now have a little leeway to be a little bit more bold in their proposals.
So you don't think it would end up just being a team competition with, say,
no, they're going to definitely keep the stroke play, the individual stroke play.
Well, that's
not going anywhere.
Okay, all right. And well, that also did allow, I mean, if you did 60 players, you'd have 30 countries. I know the stroke play allowed a few more countries to participate.
Yeah, and people get bogged down in, well, we have 60 players, but there are going to be some players who don't have a partner. Well, yeah, there may be 8 individuals in the competition or 10 individuals and only a certain number of teams, but that's okay. I don't think that's the end of the world. It's just going to be on how you get there. And the world ranking isn't perfect. It'd be really neat to have a play-in event, but at the same time, the world ranking works in other ways. So I think that's probably the safest way to go, and it worked pretty well this time. And, there'd be some people, though, who would not be part of the team competition. But you're talking about people who are probably just very happy to be there and honored to be representing their country. You know, somebody like Beck, who played for Israel on the women's side, mm-hmm. or Adelson Da Silva, who played for Brazil.
I hope you took some pride in what you saw out of the golf course.
Oh, I did. I didn't have much to do with it. I mean, I only went there once. But obviously, I was more proud, really, of the maintenance side, that they were able to make the course so good and then kind of show off Gil's design in a way that was way beyond anything anybody expected. I don't know how it translated necessarily to American television, but to us in person, it was just great fun to watch and walk. It's just a nice walk in the park golf course.
Golf in the Games in Tokyo in 2020. There's a golf course there that already. L.A. bidding for the 2024 Games. Lots of golf courses there. I know there's the meeting next year about whether golf continues in the Games, but I don't know when the meeting happens to decide 2024 and location. Do you know which comes first?
They're at the same time.
Ah.
They are. So it's the same meeting, just like it was when golf got invited to be in the Olympics. They also determined Rio at that same IOC meeting. So that'll take place in September next year, and it'll probably be Paris or L.A. for 2024. And I really just don't think there's going to be much discussion about golf staying in. I think it'll be more about what's the format going forward.
We're talking with Jeff Shackelford from jeffshackelford.com and Golf Digest and Golf Channel. While I have you, let's take care of a couple of other topics. What's up with Robert Allenby? What's going on there?
Well, Well, this isn't a great surprise, John. Things were not good over in Hawaii last year, and this was not a shock to a lot of his peers who have had lesser run-ins, but run-ins nonetheless with him, and he definitely, I think, has some issues related to that incident in Hawaii that spilled over. I haven't seen any details beyond the initial reports of his current ones, so I know you'll be shocked to know it's not something I've been tracking very closely of late. I just have been too interested in the Olympics and the response. And John, it was just the vibe down there was so great. Gary Player and I were discussing this. He rode back on the media bus, and we came up with pleasantly tense, and it was unlike any golf tournament. And so to be around all that and soak all that up, and the good vibes, but also the feeling of a special event, and then you go and read some headlines on Robert Allenby, it's like, okay, yeah, I don't have time for that.
It's welcome back to the real world now, Jeff.
It is, and it's just one of those sagas you just wish he'd kind of go away, but I just don't think he has it in him. There's just a need for attention there that unfortunately probably doesn't mix well with whatever he imbibes when he goes out in the evenings.
Another headache for the tour, possibly. Do you think Phil is looking at any disciplinary action from all that took place surrounding his involvement with the gambler?
Well, we'll never know because they keep such things private. My guess is no, because he was associated with somebody who was invited to PGA Tour Pro-Ams and was in the golf business and was a member at Phil's Club in San Diego. And while I'm sure in hindsight Phil wish he hadn't associated with old Billy, he also was not, it wasn't like he was associating with somebody who was a known convicted felon, drug dealer, whichever path you want to go down. It was none of those things. So, yes, he had kind of a reputation, you know, 60 Minutes profiled him, but as an unusual sports gambler, but I would be very upset if I were Phil if they were to fine me over that, especially somebody who won the AT&T National Pro-Am.
Nike's decision to get out of making clubs and balls, do you think a particular company will benefit from this decision?
I don't think anyone in particular, because I don't think their market share was enough. There is a view that the new Parsons company will do well from this because they kind of are looking to come into the game. But they're really trying to target a certain club buyer who wants to spend a whole lot of money. So it was obviously shocking because of the way they did it, in that they just signed a whole bunch of new young players and they have a lot of money, and they make a lot of money, and they were doing a lot of business still. It wasn't in the level of some of the other companies, and so to up and drop it the way they did was disappointing. And of course there was the inevitable, oh, this is a sign that golf is doomed. And just like with Adidas and TaylorMade, these were issues related more to just basic business decisions on dollars and cents, and I don't think a fair assessment of the state of the game.
Do you think a particular Nike player will benefit from changing companies?
It's hard to say. I've never been one to be able to gauge whether the view that the Nike equipment was inferior was holding back Tiger or Rory. I've always had a questions about their drivers and some of the things that have gone on there. But then you go and you look, and Rory McIlroy's been one of the best drivers of the golf ball, really, that we've ever seen. I think statistically, I saw something today where he, since they've been keeping track of certain stats, he's just shown himself to be by far the best. So it's really hard to blame the equipment on what maybe the users were doing with changing their swings.
What I found interesting about the Nike announcement was, and you play golf a variety of places with a lot of different people, as do I never ran into anybody playing a Nike club or Nike golf balls.
Yeah, that came up a few times. In fact, I think a player anonymously said that about their pro-am partners, that a Nike player had that view. And, you know, they were a small portion of the market in terms of club sales, and that came out once this news was revealed. And they got into it a little later than some of these other names, and that might have impacted it. I don't really know what drives buyers and consumers of equipment.
He is Jeff Shackelford from Golf Digest, jeffshackelford.com, and Golf Channel contributor. Welcome back. Welcome back to reality.
Thank you. Nice to be reunited with ice cubes and some other things like coffee and food. Food has been a great one to be seeing again since Rio.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, John.